A federal appeals court has set back the record industry's efforts to keep computer users from copying music over the Internet. The ruling from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia concerns a controversial 1998 copyright law. NPR's Rick Carr reports.
In the summer of 2002, the Recording Industry Association of America, or RIAA, alleged that a Verizon Internet subscriber was making more than 800 songs available free for downloading. The industry trade group obtained a subpoena for the customer's name. Verizon Vice President Sarah Deutsch says her firm refused to comply, in part because the 1998 law allows copyright owners to obtain subpoenas without any oversight from judges.
They were simply going to a clerk and filling out a one-page form and having the clerk fill out a subpoena. And this is a very dangerous process that could have been abused.
The RIAA filed suit, Verizon fought back, and a lower federal court ruled in favor of the record labels. Verizon appealed, and today the appellate court ruled that the subpoena provisions of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act of 1998, or DMCA, simply do not apply to the so-called peer-to-peer networks that allow computer users to trade files directly from computer to computer over the Internet. Jonathan Zittrain is co-director of Harvard Law School's Berkman Center for Internet and Society.
It's a very close, very technical reading of the statute, one passed before the peer-to-peer era came upon us, and one that quite explicitly says, you know, maybe there ought to be some help here for the record companies, but it's not for us courts to freelance it.
In other words, Zittrain says the DMCA was written when most traffic on the Internet went through central computers or servers, at least a year before the first peer-to-peer network, the original Napster. In today's ruling, Chief Judge Douglas Ginsburg wrote that while the court was, quote, not unsympathetic to the RIAA's concern, it is not the province of the courts to rewrite the DMCA in order to make it fit a new and unforeseen Internet architecture. RIAA President Kerry Sherman says the decision won't have much of an impact on the record label strategy of filing copyright infringement lawsuits against people who make a lot of files available for copying.
This is an unfortunate procedural decision, but it doesn't change the fact that people are engaged in underlying infringement, so we will still be able to get their names. It just changes the process by which we do it.
Sherman says prior to today's decision, the record labels could get an alleged infringer's name and then send a warning letter before filing suit. Now the labels will simply file suit against John or Jane Doe at a certain Internet address, then learn the alleged infringer's name and address in court. Harvard's Jonathan Zittrain says that may make the record labels think twice about filing lawsuits because they won't know beforehand whether or not the person they're suing is a sympathetic defendant, a small child, for example. More importantly, he says today's decision levels the legal playing field by bringing copyright infringement claims under the aegis of judges.
To settle everything under the radar privately, that, I think, can be corrosive because the allegations that are made, the settlements demanded, are subject to a lot of imbalances of power in this case between plaintiff and defendant.
The RIAA says it's contemplating its legal options. Rick Carr, NPR News.